Who are the Grey Company? They are at Aragorn's side during much of the War of the Ring, but who are they? Who summoned them? Why were they even there? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. They didn't really feature in the Peter Jackson films, but the Grey Company were a big part of the books, joining up with Aragorn and co. in Rohan and staying with him all the way through the Paths of the Dead, the Pelennor Fields, and to the Gates of Mordor. But who were they? We often refer to Aragorn as a ranger, one of the northern Dúnedain, which he is. But Dúnedain is really just a word for men of the West, those descended from faithful Númenóreans. The Dúnedain of the North were therefore the ruling classes of the Kingdom of Arnor before it fell, and after it fell, they took to defending the land from the vestiges of evil there, in particular in those last few years of the Third Age of Middle-earth, protecting the Shire from evil incursions. Aragorn, as the heir of Isildur and Elendil, was their ruler, although for 17 years he was hardly there, hunting Gollum with Gandalf. He returned briefly to check in before hiding in a hedge on the East Road, looking for Frodo and the Hobbits, who he suspected were heading that way. I've not got time to go into all of that right now, but I did a video on it if you're interested. He seemingly left a man named Halborad in charge, and Halborad stuck to his orders and protected the Shire for the next few months. Then, sometime early in the year 3019, Tolkien doesn't tell us the exact date, but after the Fellowship had left Rivendell, he gets a message. It told him that his chieftain Aragorn needed him in Rohan. So he gathered as many of his kinsmen as he could at short notice, that was about 30, and seemingly went via Rivendell to pick up Elrohir and Aladan, Elrond's twin sons and friends of Aragorn, who were apparently keen to go to war, and set off south to Rohan. They came across Aragorn in the company of Théoden, near Dol Baran, the southernmost hill of the Misty Mountains, on the 6th of March. Théoden was heading back to Helm's Deep after the encounter with Saruman at Isengard. This is that encounter. When they were some 50 paces off, Éomer cried in a loud voice, "Halt! Halt! Who rides in Rohan?" The pursuers brought their steeds to a sudden stand. A silence followed, and then in the moonlight, a horseman could be seen dismounting and walking slowly forward. His hand showed white as he held it up, palm outward in token of peace, but the king's men gripped their weapons. At 10 paces, the man stopped. He was tall, a dark, standing shadow. Then his clear voice rang out. "Rohan! Rohan, did you say? That is a glad word. We seek that land in haste from long afar." "You have found it," said Éomer. "When you crossed the fords yonder, you entered it. But it is the realm of Théoden the king. None ride here save by his leave. Who are you, and what is your haste?" "Halborad Dúnedain, Ranger of the North, I am," cried the man. "We seek one Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and we heard that he was in Rohan." "And you have found him also," cried Aragorn. Giving his reins to Merry, he ran forward and embraced the newcomer. "Halborad," he said, "of all joys, this is the least expected." Aragorn goes on to explain that though he had often thought of his kinsmen, he had not summoned them. So, who had? We're not alone in wondering that. The rest of the Fellowship who were there even had a little chat about it. "Why have they come? Have you heard?" asked Merry. He had now dressed, and he flung his grey cloak about his shoulders, and the three passed out together towards the ruined gate of the burg. "They answered a summons, as you heard," said Gimli. "Word came to Rivendell, they say. Aragorn has need of his kindred. Let the Dúnedain ride to him in Rohan. But whence this message came, they are now in doubt. Gandalf sent it, I would guess."
"Nay, Galadriel," said Legolas.
"Did she not speak through Gandalf of the ride of the Grey Company from the north?"
"Yes, you have it," said Gimli. "The Lady of the Wood. She read many hearts and desires."
So Galadriel, as always behind the scenes, pulling some strings. The Grey Company brought with them two more gifts for Aragorn. The first was some advice from Elrond, via Elrohir. "The days are short. If thou art in haste, remember the paths of the dead." Aragorn says that he would have to be in a very big rush to be persuaded to go by that route, but 2 days later he does indeed do it. In the films it was just Aragorn, Legolas and Gimli, but in the books the whole Grey Company accompanied him.
I went into the whole history of the dead men of Dunharrow in another video, but the short version is that they were cursed by Isildur for not keeping their oath of allegiance to support him in his fight against Sauron. Aragorn took them to the Stone of Erech, where they had made that oath all those years ago, and bade them follow him as heir to Isildur, allowing them to finally fulfil their oath. This they did by chasing off the raiders, mostly corsairs from Umber, who had been plaguing the southern fiefs of Gondor, preventing them from coming to the aid of Minas Tirith. The Oathbreakers, the dead men of Dunharrow, did a lot of that work by simply scaring away the corsairs, but they were ghosts, so couldn't actually do any fighting. That's where the Grey Company came in, a small but elite force of mostly Numenorean descendants with a couple of half-elves, and Legolas and Gimli, of course. At which point, we get to the other gift the Grey Company brought with them for Aragorn. This time it was from Arwen. She had, it seems, for some time been making Aragorn a banner declaring him the High King of Gondor and Arnor. This wasn't just a nice gift or even a show of support for him, it was personal. Her father Elrond had forbade the two of them from getting married until Aragorn was High King. This was a statement of faith in him and them. We get a description of that banner from Éomer's perspective as he sees the ships approaching up the Anduin. And then wonder took him, and a great joy, and he cast his sword up in the sunlight and sang as he caught it, and all eyes followed his gaze, and behold, upon the foremost ship a great standard broke, and the wind displayed it as she turned towards the Harland. There flowered a white tree, and that was for Gondor, but seven stars were about it, and a high crown above it, the signs of Elendil that no lord had borne for years beyond count. And the stars flamed in the sunlight, for they were wrought of gems by Arwen, daughter of Elrond, and the crown was bright in the morning, for it was wrought of mithril and gold. She had woven gold and gems and even mithril into the design, truly a work of wonder. This was a turning point in the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. The great gate of Minas Tirith had fallen, as had King Theoden. The Witch King had been defeated, but Sauron's forces had rallied, and Éomer was stranded atop a hill. When he saw the banner, he had been in a mood to stand, fight, and die there. The banner brought back hope and reinforcements. We read, "East rode the knights of Dol Amroth, driving the enemy before them. Trollmen and Variags and orcs that hated the sunlight. South strode Éomer, and men fled before his face, and they were caught between the hammer and the anvil. For now men leaped from the ships to the quays of the Harland and swept north like a storm. There came Legolas and Gimli wielding his axe, and Halbarad with the standard, and Eladan and Elrohir with stars on their brow, and the dour-faced Dunedain Rangers of the North, leading a great valour of the folk of Lebanon and Lamadon, and the fiefs of the South. But before all went Aragorn with the flame of the West, Anduril like a new fire kindled, Narsil reforged as deadly as of old, and upon his brow was the Star of Elendil." This was Aragorn announcing his return as the king of both kingdoms. The Star of Elendil for the Northern Kingdom on his brow, the reforged sword of Isildur for the Southern Kingdom in his hands, and a banner showing both flapping in the wind. Halbarad, the standard-bearer, died in that battle, and we don't hear of the Grey Company again, though Eladan and Elrohir did ride to the Morannon with Aragorn and the rest at the end, as I suspect many of the others in the company did. It is little matter. The Grey Company had played its part. They were brought together for a short-term mission and succeeded in every measure. As an aside here, the Dunedain Rangers of the North heading south at that time does also help explain how the ruffians managed to take over the Shire so completely. The Rangers had been protecting the Shire from outsiders with evil intent for centuries. When they departed, the Shire fell. The Grey Company were heroic in battle, that is without doubt, but their greater role was perhaps in their heralding of and ushering in of Aragorn as the rightful king. That banner declared to the people of Gondor who he was. There was no hiding now. He was their rightful king. For many generations, Aragorn and his ancestors had kept a low profile. There were rumours of an heir of Isildur, but the only ones who honoured that and recognised his place all that time were the Dunedain Rangers, who hailed him as their chieftain and king in exile. It is only right that they should be the ones to herald Aragorn's ultimate embracing of his destiny and declaration of his identity. The Grey Company, as representatives of the Dunedain Rangers of the North, were Aragorn's most loyal allies and subjects. It is only right that Galadriel chose them to head south and usher in his rule there. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.